From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Peter Sagal. This week, we're bringing you some of the best from our celebrity guest segment, Not My Job. Penn Jillette is the taller and louder half of the comic magic duo Penn and Teller. And when he joined panelists Charlie Pierce, Kerry O'Connor, Roy Blunt Jr., and me in January 2006, he started by describing the kind of magic he doesn't do.
We do magic for people who really, really hate magic. we're the only people who do magic who never really liked it. And I think that's a plus.
Right. And you've actually, on occasion, sort of drawn the ire of other magicians.
Yes, drawing the ire of other magicians. I mean, if Hell's Angels were angry at us, we would change. This is not the toughest group of people. It's like angry ventriloquists.
Now, what's interesting is that, you know, starting as your career as magicians who didn't like magic, who occasionally will even go so far as to explain a trick, you've sort of started a career as a debunker of things, a professional skeptic. You even went so far as to start this TV show on Showtime, whose title is
called BS. You can say BS.
It's called Penn and Teller BS! Exclamation point. But it's not really called that. It's called what BS stands for.
No, there's other letters in there.
Yes, exactly.
And you could also, if you did them out of order, the FCC doesn't care. LLUTIH. They're all there.
And on each of these shows...
Bush lilt.
Yeah. On each of these shows, you and Teller expose some aspect of modern life that you consider to be BS.
Yes.
One of those, of course, was the Bible.
Yeah.
Which is kind of asking for it in this day and age,
really
isn't
it? It asks for it so much that I'm the only one that, when I'm walking through the Rio Hotel where we play and security is near me, they come closer to me when they see someone with a cross.
Before we move on, I did want to ask you about Las Vegas, which when I saw you years ago, it was when you were touring the country. I think you were living in New York, and you definitely had a reputation as being like the hip magic act.
We were definitely New Yorkers, and moving to Vegas, you know, I really like it. But then again, I've never had a drink in my life. I don't gamble. I've never done any drugs, and I just pretty much replay on my computer, and I'm with my family, so it's just a place where I live.
You mentioned your family, so I have to mention this. You recently had your first child, a daughter.
Yes, and I think you did on your show.
We did.
I heard it as I was listening to your show. You had somebody, you asked, I think, Paula Poundstone.
That's so true.
My daughter's middle name, and she got it wrong.
Which is shameful. Your daughter's middle name is?
Crime Fighter.
Crime Fighter. And now I have to say, I think it's cool.
Uh-huh.
But she's very young at this point.
She's 7 months old. So she hardly drives at all.
Right. What do you anticipate her reaction being when she is, say, 16?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that when she's 16 and she gets pulled over by a cop the first time, she can just show her license and go, "Officer, we're on the same side." But quite seriously, I don't think middle names matter very much. My wife, Emily... doesn't have a middle name, and when we were talking about names, we thought for a long time about her first name, which is Moxie, and which we're very fond of, and Emily said, you know, I don't even have a middle name, no one even knows what your middle name is, and she just said, why don't we just make your middle name Crime Fighter and have some fun with it, and so I don't think when she's 16 it'll really come up. By then she'll have changed her name to Tiffany and she'll be stripping.
Exactly. Well, Penn Jillette, we are delighted to have you with us, and we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Now, that's a founding father we could really get behind.
Oh, good!
Thomas Jefferson used to get busy with his slaves. Alexander Hamilton publicly admitted to being blackmailed by a mistress. And, of course, Aaron Burr was a 24-hour party person. But for pure mischievous fun, there's no better icon of the Revolution than Benjamin Franklin, who would have turned 300 this week. So we're going to ask you three questions about the man who earned his place on the $100 bill. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice and their home answering machine.
Let me try this before you ask the question. Is it bifocals, a key, and potbelly stove?
My God! Think of the time we've saved. How did you know that? All right. So, Carl, who is Penn Jillette playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Kathy Spaulding from Sebastopol, California.
All right.
I'm sorry, Kathy.
There you go. Wise. Get that out of the way. Here's your first question. Benjamin Franklin was known, of course, as an inventor, but in addition to the bifocals and the Franklin stove, what else did the Sage of Philadelphia invent? A, the hair dryer, B, the medical catheter, or C, the Frisbee?
Medical catheter.
You're right.
Yeah, of course I'm right. What do you think, you're playing with kids here?
Said with some confidence, you're right. He invented the medical catheter.
He invented as the medical catheter, or did he have some other use for it?
No, no.
Are there other kinds of catheters? Athletic catheters?
Recreational catheters.
Entertainment catheters?
Educational catheters?
Yes. Party catheters.
So the next time they do that to you, thanks, Ben. All right. Ooh. Let's see if we can do the next one with as much confidence. Franklin was the most distinctive of our founding fathers in a lot of ways, including which of these? A, he's the only signer of the Declaration of Independence who advocated public nudity. B, no other player in the Constitutional Congress is in the Swimming Hall of Fame. Or C, you can't find anyone else pictured on our currency who invented his own alcoholic beverage.
I believe it's A.
You believe it's A?
Yeah.
He advocated public nudity?
Yes.
Not to my knowledge. He's in the Swimming Hall of Fame.
No, you're kidding me.
Would I kid you? Would I be that
what did he do?
Foolish? He advocated, was among the first modern people to do this, to advocate swimming as a form of exercise. Hmm. An enthusiastic swimmer himself, which you do not believe he did nude.
Right, I guess so.
So you have
up till then drowning was considered really chic.
Yes, exactly.
But you know, when you think about it, Jesus Christ had more of a swimmer's body.
That's true.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't get himself down in the water, Jesus. So. Very frustrating to him. He had to give up his career. Kept bouncing off. Franklin, this is your last question. It all comes down to this. Franklin left money in his will to his native city, Boston, and his adopted home, Philadelphia, but each bequest had an odd condition. What was it? A, the money would be forfeited if either city ever banned alcohol. B, the money could not be used for 200 years. Or C, the money could not be used until Franklin himself was pictured on some form of U.S. currency.
Hmm. Well, C seems too self-centered, doesn't it? And B seems too likely. Like, that's the one you want me to go for. So I'm going to go with A.
Maybe. Maybe I wanted you to go for B because I like you and want you to succeed. You ever thought of that?
Oh, that's possible. Awesome.
Because that's the true answer. I'm so sorry.
No.
Yes.
It's
the 200th.
Whoever this woman is who just lost, go to the Penn & Teller website, pennandteller.com, and I'll do your answering machine tape for you.
There you go.
Go there and ask Glenn. Help. I'll do that for you. I'll call up and I'll do your answering tape. If that makes it, or I'll get in touch with one of my friends. Name someone in the Aristocrats: Bob Saget, Gilbert Gottfried, Robin Williams. I'll get someone you care about to do your answering tape.
Let me explain the 200-year thing. It was in his will. He got the idea from a satire by a Frenchman, making fun of him. But he thought it was a wonderful idea, so he did it. By the time the 200th anniversary of Franklin's death came around in 1993, both funds had increased to millions of dollars. There was a good deal of arguing about what to do with it. In Philadelphia, then-Mayor Wilson Good suggested having a big party with entertainment from Ben Vereen and Aretha Franklin.
There you go.
True fact. Sadly, somebody talked him out of it, and money was wasted on scholarships. So, Carl, although I think we already know, how did Penn Jillette do?
Well, he needed two correct answers to win for Kathy Spaulding. He only had one correct answer, but I think she got a better deal.
Yeah.